My fellow Americans, I presume. Hey, PQRST. We're a little over a week out from the elections, the backside of the elections, and I have some thoughts. And as you may have guessed from the lack of whimsy in the beginning of this, it's going to be a serious podcast, but hopefully still one worth the listening. And as far as why I'm not sharing these thoughts on other platforms, like, for example, Facebook, I'm kind of staying away from Facebook. Not entirely. I'll check it every 2-3 times a day, maybe. Especially if there are cute pictures of my kid to post or notifications that someone has enjoyed looking at cute pictures of my kid. But there's so much venom on Facebook right now, and maybe it's starting to ebb away. I'm not sure, because like I said, I got to where I couldn't take it anymore. I could not handle reading what people were saying to and about each other and about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and Democrats and Republicans, and I can only take so much. So, and in addition to that, the reason why, because I could post on Facebook without reading other people's, the thing I seem to be discovering, especially lately, is it is really easy on Facebook to immediately write in and tell somebody why they're wrong, to detract, to denounce, to correct, and I want to be corrected when I'm wrong, but if you're going to correct me, it really helps if you're actually listening to me. I have no interest in, or little to no interest in, being corrected by someone who hasn't heard what I said in the first place. And a lot of the feedback I've gotten when I have posted things on Facebook lately that weren't pictures of my kid have been people immediately telling me why I was wrong. Without, as far as I could tell, any interest in the point I was making in the first place. For example, roughly a week ago, a couple days after the election, there was an article on Fox News and on the website, a written article about how Trump could potentially not be actually elected president after all because the Electoral College has yet to make their final vote. That'll happen in mid-December, and it is possible that some of the electors would switch sides, for lack of a better term. And I just found that interesting and said, hey, Facebook, here's this article. Did not come down on one side or the other, just put the article out there for those who would be interested to read it, as I was. And shortly thereafter, there was one of my friends on Facebook was like, this can never happen. This could never happen. Hillary already conceded the election to Trump, and the election was God's will, and so you were totally wrong. And all I had done was post an article. Wasn't aware that I had done something right or wrong. I had just posted a link to an article. I don't even remember what it was at this point. But I guess concrete examples aren't that important. But it was another case of, this is a thing. And somebody immediately was like, no, you're wrong. It's not a thing. And even if I'm wrong, when the only comments I get are people telling me, hey, you're wrong and here's why, well, I'm glad to have this chance to speak my mind, because while it is still possible for people to email me or call me or put up comments to indicate that I'm wrong, at least in this particular forum, it would take you longer. It's not quite as instantaneous. And my hope is that even if you are even now or shortly to be preparing comments on why I'm wrong, that you'll at least wait until I'm done. You'll at least listen to the end of the podcast before weighing in. I'm glad to have this particular forum, this project that I've established, that I've put more than a year's worth of work into, that it exists. It's not just, hey, here's my first podcast, thoughts on the election. No, we're in the mid-30s somewhere. And so I've put some work into this. I've put some effort into it. I don't know how many people are listening, but I do have regular listeners. And for both of you, I want to thank you, and I hope that what I have to say will be a blessing, and maybe will challenge you a little bit if you need to be challenged. Because I am not happy with the results of the election, and I know I'm the only one who's saying that, but I do feel like I'm in a very interesting place. I did not vote for Hillary Clinton. I did not vote for Donald Trump. I do not support either of their campaigns. Would not wish either of them to be president. But I feel like I'm sort of in the middle between the two camps. And it's an interesting place because there's a lot of squeeze going on in the middle. And I will say this, take and do with it what you will. If 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, or whatever, if prior to the election, any of my listeners were making noise about how things were rigged, about how it was unfair, about how the Democrats had set things up so that their guy, quote-unquote, guy would win, anyone who was complaining about elections being rigged before last Tuesday and is not complaining now, far as I can tell, you are a hypocrite. Because there, unless I'm really missing something, there was nothing just about this past election. This election was, I won't use the word rigged, because that implies that there were people pulling the strings behind the scenes, that somebody manipulated the results. And I don't know about that, but I absolutely think the results are unjust. So if you were complaining about the system not being just before the election and you're not complaining now, I consider you a hypocrite, because you must not be interested in justice as much as you are interested in getting your way. I was not complaining about things being rigged beforehand, but Hillary received more votes than Donald Trump. She won the popular vote. Trump was given the election. That is unjust. That is not right. There is something wrong with that, and yet the people who were screaming about the injustice of the election before it happened are now silent, as far as I can tell. I have not heard anyone, I have not heard any supporter of Trump, I have not seen any supporter of Trump saying, hey, this isn't really fair. Maybe we should be looking at this. It's, to use a very pedestrian example, it's like when I'm watching a football game. If the ref makes a bad call against the Broncos, I am incensed. If he makes a similarly bad call against the opposing team, well, I wish they wouldn't call bad calls. I don't want to win that way. But I'm not equally angry. I submit that's a little more fair of a way to view things than the person who is screaming, throw their beer can against the wall mad when the ref makes a call against their team, and cheers when the ref makes a bad call against the opposing team. But in either case, the person's not interested in justice. They're interested in getting their way. So there is my first point, and I've probably beaten it into the ground at this point. But I just want to say, if you're not complaining about the election being unfair, I don't think you're interested in fair elections so much as Donald Trump being president. And so please don't tell me how much you're interested in justice. But that point is not even close to being the one I really want to talk about. The thing I really want to talk about is love. And please know, as I talk about love, that I am not talking to, well, I'm happy to talk to anyone who wants to listen, but I am specifically reaching out to those of us who would call ourselves Christians, who say we are followers of Christ. Because I have been deeply saddened and even angered by a lot of the behavior I've seen, not only on Facebook, but also in the world at large, from my fellow believers. Also, please know that I am first and foremost trying to get the log out of my own eye, that this starts with me. So, for just anyone out there, for human beings hearing the sound of my voice, but especially if you consider yourself a Christian, how is it going with being loving? Especially considering this election. If you voted for Trump, if you consider yourself a Republican, how's it going loving Democrats? If you voted for Hillary and you consider yourself a Democrat, how are you loving Republicans? How is that going? How are you loving the illegal immigrants, the Muslims, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community? How's love going in your life? Because, like I say, in the world at large, but most especially on Facebook, I have seen so much venom, so much anger, so much hatred. And again, well, so what? That's how people are. I am talking to Christians because we're not supposed to be like the world. We are not supposed to be like the world. It is said in the Bible that they will know we are Christians by the love we have for one another. That is supposed to be how they know that we are Christians, how they know there's something different about us because of the love we have for one another. 1 John chapter 4 says that love is of God, and anyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. I'll say it again. Love is of God, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God. And hopefully my son and the dog will not be distracting here. Isaac decided he was done with his nap, and so he's going to play with the dog. But I worked myself up to recording this podcast. I'm not going to stop now if I can possibly avoid it. So, he that does not love does not know God. And we could say, I feel, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like I could hear people out there getting ready to write me emails saying, hey, I love, look at how I treat my wife, look at how I treat my kids, look at how I treat my parents, look at how I treat the guy that lives down the street. That's great. That is a good start. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's written down in the Gospels, especially Matthew 5, I tell you, love your enemies, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward is that? Don't even the tax collectors do that? Jesus very clearly told us to love those who do not love us. And when I see Facebook posts calling Hillary Clinton pure evil, when I see Facebook posts, oh, there's one friend I have, and I would love to speak with him as I'm speaking with you, but he is always teaching and never, and completely unteachable. He's always talking and will not listen. But he had a post where, it was on one of these stupid memes, where at a time a couple months back when protesters were blocking a highway, and he was like, well, I gotta get to work, so I'm just gonna run y'all over. Because inconvenience to him is apparently worth the death of others. Oh, but it's just a joke. This is not funny. Even finding this funny is not love. Someone else, oh, this was a recent one, after Trump won the election, posted again a stupid meme saying, hey, instead of a brick-and-mortar wall, let's build an electric fence, because that's funnier to watch. Let's build an electric fence, because people burning to death is amusing. Jesus calls us to love, and 1 John 4 says, if we do not love, we do not know God. So, how are you doing on loving out there? You know, are you posting things, you know, mocking how the Cubs are going to give up their title because the Indians scored a similar number of runs, basically mocking this whole election process? Is that loving? Is laughing at the losers loving? Is laughing at the Democrats because they lost? Is that loving? Is supporting legislation that would throw a bunch of people out of the country that you don't know, that haven't done anything to you personally, is that loving? I don't think that it is. And I am not saying that illegal immigrants should have free reign to do what they want. I don't come down on that side. But I also do not come down on the side of suit up, grab your riot gear, and let's hog tie some people and throw them over the border either. That's not love. I don't know what the solution is, but neither solution is godly, in my opinion. And like I have said, this whole thing needs to start with me, because I haven't been very loving. I was very convicted a couple weeks before the election. God showed me how I had been unloving, and so I made a public Facebook declaration asking God's forgiveness and praying for both camps, praying for Hillary Clinton's family and friends, praying for Donald Trump's family and friends. I posted a verse from that Paul wrote. I want to say it's Romans. I'm sure you can look it up. It is in there, about how we are to respect those in authority over us. And if Hillary had won, I would be working on respecting those in authority over me. As Donald Trump currently has won, I am working on respecting those who are in authority over me. And that was one of the posts where all I did was post what the Bible said, and boy, did I get some feedback about how, well, if Hillary wins, absolutely, I can't respect her. Well, you're going to have to talk to God about that, if you can't do. And I'm not saying, you know, well, if I lived in 1940s Germany, I'm supposed to respect Hitler. No, you are not supposed to obey the governing authorities when the governing authorities go against God. But this is about just courtesy for other people, and my son is very excited about his banana, and being willing to listen to other people. And I'm getting off topic. Again, I have been angry, I have been wrong, and I have asked publicly for forgiveness from God. I need to begin with me. The light needs to be shone. I need to shine the light on my own life first. And as I was thinking about this podcast, I remembered the fairly ill-fated reality show On the Lot. It came out in 2007. And the basic premise was a bunch of filmmakers are gathered, and they keep making films for the show and are eliminated for various reasons. And whoever lasts to the end gets a $1 million development deal with Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks. And Carrie Fisher was one of the regular judges. Gary Marshall was one of the regular judges. They had some others come in, like Wes Craven and Michael Bay, and it was not great. I watched it through to the end because, you know, I make movies for a living, sort of, and I wanted to see, you know, how it would turn out. The guy that won, I don't even remember his name, he walked at the end of the final episode, he literally walked, not hand in hand with Spielberg, but next to Spielberg off into the lot, and I don't know that he was ever heard from again. But the reason I bring any and all of this up is because there was one film that really did stick out in my mind. And I had to look it up. I really tried to find it on YouTube, and I couldn't, which says a little something about how well the show was received, that nobody has bothered loading it up to YouTube. But it was called First Sight. And I wanted to find it so I could watch it again and accurately represent it on this podcast. But the basic premise was, the directors were supposed to do shorts about either the future or the past, and this director chose to do futuristic. And it wasn't all that futuristic. This girl, in a modern-day setting, finds these glasses. That's the futuristic part. The glasses, when you put them on, you see people as they really are. So the guy approaching you might represent himself as clean-cut and friendly, but you put the glasses on, you see he's really wild and mean. This woman across the way might seem like a loving mother, but you put the glasses on, you see she's drunkard and beats her children or whatever. The reason, again, I'm bringing all this up, it does have a point. At the end of the movie, the girl that has these magic glasses turns and looks right into the camera. It was as cheesy as you can imagine, and says something to the effect of, "Would you like to put these on?" And it just became this, "Hey guys, I don't want to stop everything for a message," but it was dreadful. And as I recall, Carrie Fisher jumped all over the hey, here's the message. Hang on a second. I'm going to hit you over the head with the message of the video. What I expected, the way I expected it to end, and the way I think that if the filmmaker had ended it, it would have made a big impression, been a very powerful video. I expected the girl with these magic glasses to suddenly see a mirror. And at the end of the thing, right before it fades to black, she puts the glasses on to look at herself. Or she looks at the mirror and looks down at the glasses as to consider whether or not she dares to put the glasses on and look at herself. That would have been a good ending and made it a powerful thing. And so what I don't want to do with this podcast is ask you to put those glasses on or ask, what would I see if I looked at you with those glasses? Because I've been looking at you, some of you, with those glasses. I know what I've been saying. Right now, I need to go and find a mirror and put the glasses on and look at me. And I'll admit, I have done that too. And I have not been very loving. And I can't make other people... I can't make you guys love each other, much as I wish I could. That's the whole thing about God. That's what is so amazing about this world that God created and the fact that he gave us dominion over it. For all its faults, the movie Bruce Almighty kind of hit this nail on the head when Bruce has God's power and tries to make Grace love him, and he can't, because as powerful as God is, he will not make anybody love him, will not make anybody obey him. We have the right to choose that. He gave us that. It is, and it's not given to any animal, it's not given to the angels, it was only given to us. And so if we choose to be angry, if we choose to be hate-filled, if we choose to gossip, if we choose to steal, if we choose to lust, we get to do that. We get to be destructive if we so choose. And I don't want to be destructive. I want to build up this world and not tear it down. I want to bring good into the world and not evil. I think about the fruits of the Spirit, and I want my presence in this world to bring love and joy and peace and patience. I want to be known for kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Another way to look at it is Scripture says that God is love. And I want to be like God. And so if I look at 1 Corinthians 13, I want to go down that list and for it to apply to me. You know, I want people to say, Will is patient. Will's kind. He's not envious. He's not boastful. He's not proud. He's not rude, which I have been and recently. He's not self-seeking, which I have been and recently. He's not easily angered, which I really, really have been and very recently. Will keeps no record of wrongs. He doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Will always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. He always perseveres. I want that to be how I'm known. And so, having said that, we come to the title of today's podcast, which is The Safety Pin. It was Fox News, yet again, a news report maybe a week ago, where... we may have a little musical accompaniment here in a second to the podcast. But I love my son, and if he wants to help me make the podcast by playing the piano, well, that's just going to be... Anyway, Fox News reported about a week ago about this movement. And I'm not one for just joining movements. I don't consider myself much of a crowd follower. When everybody... Well, okay, I put quotes around the word everybody. When a lot of people... were changing their Facebook posts to red, white, and blue in support of France. I understood why they were doing that. I didn't join in. I still supported France, was praying for France, but I don't jump on bandwagons a lot. But I am wearing a safety pin right now, and I am going to continue wearing a safety pin for as long as I need to, and that's as long as it takes for me to really get it that I want to be known for love. And maybe it will be longer than it takes for me to get it. Maybe it will be for this world to know. But the safety pin movement, if you don't know, as it was represented to me, people are putting on safety pins. If you see someone with a safety pin on their sleeve, on their jacket, it represents that they want to be a safe place. Safe place from or for what, you might ask. regardless of how you feel about the election, I defy anyone to disagree with me that a lot of people in this country, because in large part to the results of the election, are scared. A lot of people who are in this country from other countries, illegally certainly, possibly even some that are here legally, are scared. A lot of people who call themselves Muslims are scared. That's, if you can hear that, that's my son with the frying pan. A lot of people who love or reserve the right to do what they call loving in ways that are not generally accepted are scared. And I understand why a lot of people are scared, because there are a lot of angry people out there that are, that, but a lot of people out there apparently are really good at hating other people. There are people that hate Muslims, that hate illegal immigrants, that hate blacks, that hate Chicanos, that hate lesbians and gays and bisexual and transgenders. And it seems, because of this election, that a lot of those people are coming out of the woodwork and hating out in the open and taking Trump's win as license to hate. And if you want to have a dialogue about illegal immigration, send me an email, videoninja@juno.com. Give me a call, 303-570-0488. Let's sit down and talk to each other. I would like to hear what you think about illegal immigration, and assuming you consider it a problem, what we might be able to do to help. But if you are within the sound of my voice, or you see me wearing a safety pin, and you are here in this country illegally, I don't hate you. I am not saying I think you have every right to be here. If you are breaking the law, you're breaking the law, but I don't hate you. If you have a feeling about Sharia law, and you have an opinion about whether or not it is destructive and whether or not Muslims should be removed from this country, as one person I know feels would be an acceptable solution, just if all Muslims were returned to Muslim land. I don't think he even knows where they come from, but that's his solution. Deport all of them. If you are a Muslim, even if you hate me, I don't hate you. If you are a member of the LGBT community, we could sit down and have a dialogue about the lifestyle that you are living. If you wish, I will gladly listen to what you would say about that. Hopefully you would listen to my point of view about that. But I do not hate you. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate Hillary Clinton. I don't hate whoever it is that's now in charge of the Taliban. I don't hate the leader of the KKK. There are people on this earth, in my understanding, I've never met any of them, but it is my understanding that there are people on this earth, if they could, would kill me without a second's hesitation. I don't hate them. As far as I understand, Jesus, and there is scripture upon scripture about this, Jesus did not hate anyone. He called us to love others, even those that hate us. And if Jesus would forgive from the cross the people that put him there, what has anybody done to me that I have the right to hold against them? What would anybody do to me that I have the right to hold against them? And there are some, I get it, I guess. It's like, well, these illegal immigrants, they're taking our jobs. So, if your hope is in God, who cares if somebody takes your job? God has promised to provide for you. Well, these Muslims, if they get their Sharia law in place, then they take over the country. So, I don't wish for them to take over the country, of course, but this irrational fear, this belief that our American way of life is sacrosanct and nothing should violate it. If you worship the flag more than you worship God, you are wrong. And I question your faith. If you worship money more than God, if you worship family more than God, if you worship your own ideals more than God's, you are wrong. And please know, if you are out there and you're listening to this and you don't believe in God, I am not talking to you. I would love to have a dialogue with you about how amazing God is and how wonderful He is, and to show you how amazing Scripture is and encourage you to meet the being who created everything that we have and who loves you more than anyone has ever loved you. But Jesus did not call us to hate except in one area, and that is sin. He called us to hate sin. In fact, He said, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." And if it's been preached to you that that means don't go to bed angry, that's not what that scripture is saying. That scripture is saying that much like the sun never sets on the British Empire, being angry at sin, hating sin, should never have a vacation. That should never stop. It should never quit just because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. We should always hate sin. But Jesus didn't hate any person. Jesus loved people. Jesus died for people. And when I heard about the... Hi, little boy. When I heard about the safety pin movement, my first thought was, yes, I want to find the nearest safety pin and put it on because I want to be known as a safe person. I want those out there who feel oppressed, who feel threatened, who feel hated, if they see me, to know that I'm on their side. And my first thought was, well, okay, but what does it mean? If I wear this, will people think that I believe homosexuality is a viable lifestyle choice? If I wear this, do people think that I believe illegal immigrants should be given free rein? What will people think if they see this on me? And I prayed about that. And what God helped me remember was Jesus did not fear being labeled. He singled out a tax collector, a thief that He knew was cheating people, and said, "Hey, I'm having lunch with you today." And He didn't care if that meant people said, "Hey, Jesus thinks it's okay to steal." He deliberately spoke to the Canaanite woman in a culture that did not speak to women, and in a social culture that did not speak, the Jews did not speak, is my understanding, to Canaanites. He didn't care. And not only was she a woman, she was a woman of loose morals, and He didn't care if that meant people said, "Hey, Jesus likes prostitutes. Jesus likes..." Fill in the blank. Use whatever derogatory term for women you might choose to. He didn't care if He was labeled. He loved people regardless of what people thought, and that's where I want to come down, even if it means I'm labeled, even if it means people don't understand. I want to love people regardless of what it costs me. Because in the end, what do I have to lose? I love my wife, and I love my son, and I love the amazingly comfortable life in paradise that God has given me as an American. But you can take all of that away from me. You cannot take, no one can take away the one thing I cannot exist without, and that's the love of God. Take the house. Take the business. Take my family, if need be. I will have them back. 10,000 years from now, I will still have relationship with Tiffany. I will still have relationship with my son, Isaac. I will still have my relationship with God. So there is nothing that I do not hold in an open hand. And I regularly ask God, "Am I being greedy? Is there anything I am holding back from you? Anything I am not willing to give up, to surrender, if it is to your glory?" So I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And if in the end I have the glory of giving up what Stephen gave up, what Peter gave up, what Jesus Himself gave up, if in the end I can give my reputation, my money, my life itself for the glory of God, to be known as someone who loves, I'm on board with that. My parents-in-law, my mother and father-in-law, I have visited their house in California a number of times, and in the guest
bedroom, which, as I understand it, was not my wife's but her sister's bedroom growing up, there is a piece of paper on the wall. I think Katie wrote it herself. It's from a song. It says, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. I can't make you love. I can't make you not hate. But if it matters to anyone within sound of my voice, I'm a safe person. I do not hate you. Regardless of what you believe, regardless of what you would do to me if you could get your hands on me, I don't hate you. Because I don't hate anybody." If you have comments on this, I welcome them. You can email me at videoninja@juno.com or give me a call, 303-570-0488. If you're just going to call, tell me I'm wrong, and you don't have any interest in listening to me, you can save your breath, because I'm not, I love you, but I don't have to listen to someone who doesn't want to listen to me. I don't think that God requires that of me. But if you would like to dialogue about anything I've said, I would be delighted to talk to you. And I'm going to end this podcast with words that hopefully are encouraging to you, as more than anything, a reminder to me. It's from the prayer of St. Francis. And I recently read a book about the life of St. Francis, and he and I don't see eye to eye on everything, but I absolutely am on board with these words, which are attributed to him, and which, as far as I can tell, line up exactly with the words of Christ. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born again to eternal life." How are you doing, loving? I hope you're doing well. I think that's it for the podcast for this particular fortnight. Go own your stage. And if you get the chance, please help someone else own theirs. And know that wherever you are, I love you.